Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, come on, work for me. Work for me. There we go.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
Howdy, howdy.
Yep, what's going on?
We didn't have a show last week because they were updating the live paranormal servers.
They were down, but we
didn't get a heads up, so we apologize for that unforeseen, forced error.
Unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, 242. What is it? 347-242-0316.
No. 347-202. 0316.
I did that just so he could correct me.
I was looking right at it. I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate it. I'm looking at this dumbass going 10 miles slower than me. So, yeah, miles an hour slower than me.
Oh, God.
So, how are you, Lisa? How's everything going? And David, how are y'all doing?
Just peachy. It's good. It's fine, I guess. You know? Yeah, and so no, but Mikey and Madison officially were on the lease now here. They got the keys, they got the parking pass, so we're doing
nice.
Okay. You know what
good.
I mean? Fingers crossed. You know why?
Do you get your own spot?
Right by outside the apartment. Yep.
Have to run anybody? Ever go out there and somebody's trying to be in your spot? Do you have to get on them?
No, everybody just shares. It kind of, this whole thing, except for the Karen. This whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Tell us in a minute about the Karen.
Okay. So I'm in the living room. I'm getting up to go in the kitchen. So the window's right there, and I'm in basement apartment. So my windows are, like, ground level and above. So she brings a dog out. She's always a bitch anyway. So I'm watching
the dog or the woman?
The woman. Okay. She had a little dog and a big white Samoyed. All right. So
cool.
I know, they're beautiful. And I seen her yank the dog's collar. Okay, this is in person.
Oh, no, yeah.
And of course, my instincts were to, like, what the fuck, you know? And then I watch her, and when she pulled the dog up, she kicked the dog. I was like, fuck, my window is right here. My window's right. I'm like, what the fuck did you just do? And I'm running. You know, but by the time I got out there, she was gone. So I went to the workers, and within, and you know me, I'll find things out in a fucking split second. And then I went and reported it. Yep. They're taking action, and she's being evicted. So I guess.
Did you know? And then
she let the dog poop and left it in front on the ground.
I know in Tennessee, animal cruelty is a felony.
So it is here too.
Oh, did they finally make it a felony there?
Yep.
Because Tennessee had it had the distinction of being the strictest on people abusing animals for years.
For sure, yeah. And I know I was like in Jersey when I was animal control.
Right.
That was a fucking crazy ass job back then.
Yeah.
Now they don't do what I did. Like they have people come out, special people come out and pick up dead animals and stuff. Back then we didn't even get gloves. We just had to get the bag and fucking throw it in. You get what I mean? Or whatever. Back then, we picked them all up. You know, it's difficult. And cruelty is cruelty, regardless.
It definitely is.
Thank God my shoes weren't on.
Don't let the sun shine on your ass if you get hurt an animal in front of me. I'm not bragging Billy Badass, but don't you hurt an animal in front of me. I have lost it before. That's not just an understatement.
That was me screaming as I'm trying to put my shoes on.
But here's the thing about the reaction. Reaction, when you're gone, that animal, they could abuse that animal for you jumping their shit, you know. So it's kind of a, you know, are you going to get the animal more hurt by going up there and getting up in their face and threatening to whip their, hey, why don't you pull my neck like that or something? The mentally ill motherfucker kills the animal or something.
You know what I would have done? You know what I would have done? I would have walked outside and called 911.
Yeah.
That's
so,
what I would have done.
I'm
and
just
waited
saying,
for them to
I
get
have,
here, and then they would contact animal control and get the animal control officer out here. That's what I would have done.
Yep.
I would have done that.
Know, but then, you know, you got to, I guess, I can't do like I used to. You
and
know,
in
that
the process,
the
grab the dog.
For the dog, you know, it wouldn't
yeah,
be the smartest
yep.
thing.
No, no, I know. I would, yeah, but I would.
Because the idiot's going to hurt that dog.
Trust me,
you know?
I would want
to,
I want
to
knock her off, but. Yep, but I would have probably done that because I have training, so I would have calmed down by the time I got outside. You know what I mean?
Right.
And thought clearly to, you know.
I think our
yep.
first reaction is to want to beat someone's ass over it. We got to.
That was mine.
You know, I said that without really thinking, you know, you could get the animal hurt.
I know. Well,
you
see.
You know, because when you're gone, that animal's on its own, you know.
And I can't handle that either. I would fucking wind up, I have that snapping stage where if I saw something like
yeah.
that, I remember what my dad taught me. That's all I got to say. I remember everything dad showed me. You get it? He made sure that I knew how to defend myself starting at age 5. Which
that's
is,
important.
You know, yeah, I know. I know. Yep, so I kept it with me all these years.
But, you know, did that person get in trouble?
Yeah, they're also being evicted.
That's good.
All right, so that's
I hope they had taken the animal away from them. That would
that's
be
up to animal control got to handle that.
But the problem
yeah,
is,
yeah.
what is the fate of the animal once it gets into the hands of the animal
Samoyed?
Control people?
Wait, wait.
Oh, well, yeah, someone would
yeah,
adopt a Samoyed. You know, it kills me how many animals are killed. You know, you can't save every animal. But,
dude,
man, people really need, I can't tell people enough. Spay and fucking neuter y'all shit, man.
I know. I quit
because
being an officer, went to kennel, and then a year later, they wanted to fucking put, and I went to work for my veterinarian that trained me,
yeah.
Dr. Roy, after that, because I couldn't handle that either. And
right.
I worked there at the OCCA, and I couldn't handle it. You know?
You talk about, you know, making sure you get your animals spayed and neutered. But there's humans that need that, too.
Yeah. I come back
oh,
from
no
run
shit.
One time.
Hey, look,
right?
I tell Lisa this. We got a lot of cousins, but some of them we don't really want to be related to.
Exactly. Probably. I would say so.
I'm sure H.H. Holmes is probably in our
right.
David's bloodline out of Illinois.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Jeff.
Michigan. Michigan or something. Yeah.
Oh, God. I hope not.
No, at least it's got Jack the Ripper somewhere.
Right. We have
you don't know who Jack the Ripper was.
Lindsay Borden somewhere in there.
Actually,
you know that, right?
They believe they may have solved that, and that's good. That's food for a show.
Wow.
Oh,
we
got
to get Nick on. Nick got to come on for that. Nick knows
they believe. Now, I'm just going to throw this out since I
uh-huh.
teased it. They believe that Jack the Ripper may have been a Polish-born doctor in training.
Oh, you're talking about Jack the Ripper. Okay, I thought you were
talking
about
Yeah, 18, in Victorian England.
Right. Yeah, never mind.
London,
sorry,
1890s or whatever.
Right.
Well,
go ahead. They're working on where their advances, you know, DNA.
Oh,
remember
DNA,
when we were younger,
man.
The DNA technology was really cool, remember? And I love forensic files. I watched the hell out of it. But
they can even take it out of home.
They have
bones,
gotten now. You thought it was cool 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
DNA is gotten. I mean, they can take a bloody rag from the 1890s.
Okay.
I think they're beginning to be able to pull, I guess, trace amounts of that from
right.
these bloody garments. And I wonder if they
yep.
do the genealogical thing where they get a hit on someone who's done 23andMe or something. You know.
Oh, no. I know. Well, they have. They have. No, no, no. They have.
No, Jack the Ripper, though.
No, I don't know about Jack the Ripper. I don't know about Jack the Ripper, but they're doing a lot of the bodies that they found years ago, and they're doing a DNA, and they're
finding them. Oh, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a whole show. That is a whole show.
I know.
That we can talk about the DNA stuff that the, I mean, and praise God for them being able to find, to get closure. I've been seeing cases from the 60s.
I know.
The other day
that's
I saw one that was from 64, and they busted the dude. He had died a long time ago in prison because a lot of these people that did that,
they do
it once. They have this appetite to go and do it again. And a lot of them end up in, they end up in prison by other nefarious means. Right. But then there's people like, what was his name, Lisp? What was that guy's name?
Yeah. I think so.
Lisp?
Yeah,
his last
there.
Name was
uh-huh.
Lisp? He
mm-hmm.
lived, he went on and started another family and was living high off the hog, and then they just come in and said, hey, dude, we know you did it.
Yep. No, no. By the way, this is a good segue.
What was his name? List?
List,
was
I think
List?
So.
Richard List or something like that?
Oh, that sounds like it.
Hey, Steve, are you listening? Could you tell us?
Steve, Google.
Shout out to Steve Lawson. We love you, buddy.
Hi, Steve. Love you, Steve. And you know what? Listen, this is a good segue.
Roger List, Richard List.
What?
John
this
List.
Is a good segue.
John List. John List.
That's it. All right.
It was John
this List. This
okay.
is a good segue into what we're going to talk about past
yeah,
life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to know why?
It really is. It's a great
are
one.
You know, want to know why? Because it's believed that you come down in the same line. You get what I mean? Somewhere in
yeah,
the
right.
family line.
Some people believe
like
that,
you,
yeah.
And you have all the same memories. And it makes sense to me because, you know, you carry all the memories of the past generations with you. You get what I mean? So you
yeah,
understand.
Absolutely.
So it kind of makes more sense that way. And when you think about it, like when I went to, I lived in Jersey, Perth Amboy. Wound up moving to Pennsylvania and finding Fort Mifflin. All right, my mom was into wrestling stuff and stuff, you know, things like that. I grew up going places. I went to all that kind of, but in Jersey, I never went to the fort, right? And I didn't know how this would turn into a whole entire story because, you know, you get evidence because you're getting evidence from the fort. Though it's going to turn into where you're finding things out. And then especially with William, I looked, all right, they said his house burnt down to the ground, right? Now I get out at Halk and Snyder mm-hmm. over there, right? I'm like walking, and we walked past, like I walked away from the house first and went to his grave. And then as coming back, it was my first time, I stopped dead in the street. I was like, no, his house did not burn down. It's right there. And everybody's
yeah.
like, what? I'm like, no, it's right there. And that's when I just looked, and they're like, what? And I'm like, it was remodeled a lot. And then I went down to the Historical Society and blah, 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 blah. And it turned out they contacted me, and I had to go back down there. I was right. It
yeah.
was not burnt down. So, and I knew that. And I also, his grave is in the middle of the fucking woods. Okay?
Right.
All right, I'm Bob's property. Thank you for giving me the book, Bob. All right, anyway, so I think it's Bob. I forget. Anyway, so I found, like, I'm in the woods. I just marched myself to the gravesite. And then I'm telling everybody that there's a well on the other side of the street that I used to run for the house. You have no idea. I just started rambling shit. I had never been to Perky Omaville in my life.
Yeah.
Okay? So then getting all the evidence and then doing this, and I wound up getting up historical evidence. I knew by looking at the 116th PA Regiment who was William.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just like I knew, his house was still standing. Get it?
Right.
And
yeah.
so it started making sense, and I get all this evidence. I'm putting it together, and then the communication was always so clear. He's not a ghost. He's not a demon. He's not residual. He is a spirit and comes and goes as he pleases. Okay? So everybody needs to shut the fuck up now because you don't know what you're talking about. Okay? And I'm going to leave it at that. I will leave it at that because I can produce you. What year is this? Oh, my God.
2024?
15, like almost 17, 18 years of evidence. So
right.
No. Okay. So we'll leave it at that. But then, you know, doing all this, knowing, and then when I came to Norristown, I wound up, when I moved to Norristown to begin with, this not about the program, but before that, I moved to Jade, you're quacking my ear. Look at I moved to 532 Cherry Street. And then I went to 217 Chestnut Street. Right? Turns out that Hannah, his wife, lived to the attached house in 534 Cherry Street. They were attached to, like, row homes, you know what I mean? Like that? All
right?
Right.
Yeah.
They were attached together. That's where his wife lived with William. But then when I moved in and I did the Chestnut Street research, she raised her two
mm-hmm.
boys where I was raising Jade and Mikey in the same house. So, okay, then I had the past life regression thing done, right? Plus, I had a
right.
DNA test, and I know I'm related to the family line. That's why I brought that up. But then I had a
yeah.
right.
regression with Robbie Crossan from Scotland, okay, and it was really good, and it turned out I was her. I remembered baking bread. I remembered everything from thing, and I recorded it, you know what
yep.
I mean, as he did it. But, you know, yeah, which would make sense because he calls me Hannah all the time, and we could produce
yeah.
that evidence.
yeah, your past
yeah.
life regression with
yeah.
Robbie proved that you were
yeah,
in a previous life Hannah Howe.
At first, I didn't
which,
have a name. But I remember I was going through the thing. Yeah, which
right.
makes sense why he called me Hannah.
And it makes more sense as to how you knew where things
yeah.
were, what things would have
yes.
looked like, where the well was, that the house was right there.
Uh-huh.
It definitely ties everything together with the evidentiary stuff that you've gotten, along with the past
well,
life
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, no wonder why he couldn't stand Mikey's father so much.
Because he was
well,
just
because,
like
no,
the man who sent him
just,
to death.
Okay, not, yeah, for people who don't know, William Howe was not a farmer, by the way. He worked at a cigar factory, okay? Anyway, let's just go past that. Okay, everybody's like, he's this farmer. No, he worked at a cigar factory
mm-hmm.
over there. And so I know where it is, but it's just, you know. Anyway, I wound up investigating there. And he joined the 116th during the Civil War for the Union Army, and he came out of the Battle of Fredericksburg, okay, but they had dysentery. You know what dysentery is, right? Okay,
yeah,
it fucked you up. There was no, all right, there only 10 of them came out. He came out holding the fucking flag. They couldn't find one single hospital. Everything was burnt down. Either that or it was over full with people laying dead, all you get it, all over the place and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they walked all the way home to Pennsylvania to recover. He didn't run. That's all. That's what happened. And he was in bed, and Hannah was taking care of him. And so the guy didn't like, this Bartlett guy, his family was like the bankers and all that shit, right? So he didn't like William anyway. You could tell. All right. And so he was a recruiting officer who actually the year before, because I read William's shit, I know what William said, was in Norristown prison because he didn't take the oath or the draft or whatever, and then got released and given a good cushy recruiting officer job. Get my point? Okay.
Right.
So there you go. That's facts and facts, okay? So when William was laying in bed, you know, he was there for weeks. Nobody said anything. His neighbors were helping. Everybody, you get it? He was going to go back into the regiment as soon as he was better, okay? And that's a fact. He didn't go nowhere. He's in the house. I know that house. He was there, all right? So then they got drunk one day, Barlow and his buddies over there at the tavern in New Hanover,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they took their little wagons and their horses, whatever, go over to Williams at midnight and banged on the door. Now it's midnight. It's Parkview Owenville. I couldn't see anything in that place at night, nothing, all right? So, and they didn't have, like, street lights, so imagine. So he's banging on the door. He starts lying to Hannah, telling her that he is Augustus Byton, William's other friend, right, who went home with him and was probably recovering at the same time, which he was.
Right.
And so she knew it wasn't him. He threatened to punch a door in. Somebody fired a shot. William was upstairs in the bedroom. And this is a little fudgy here. William's upstairs in the bedroom, and they fired a shot at him. He fired one shot at the window and shot somebody. He didn't even see what the fuck he was shooting at. It's fucking nighttime. All right. You get it? So then he went up, and there was a bell that at the top of the in the house. Like, if you opened the attic thing, like a hatchy thing, you know what I mean? And you could ring
yeah.
a bell like that. And he started yelling, murderer, murderer, because, you know, it was like they were robbers, not anything. And he still didn't run. And the other guys threw Bartlett in the wagon. It started bouncing him. They were telling him to wait for the neighbors to come and help, right? That's what they were saying. But he started
mm-hmm.
bouncing him in a wagon because they was pissed ass drunk. So basically they bled him out on the way home.
Yeah, they did.
All right.
That wagon ride didn't do him any good.
Yeah, you know it. And this is mountain. You know what I mean? So then he still didn't run. And then one day,
are we there?
He was in bed. Yeah, what?
Everything just kind of faded out on me real quick.
It went quiet. I got quiet.
So it fuzzed and went quiet.
Tell William to quit messing with the phone line.
Yeah,
I know
William,
he's excited.
William, pop in here and just talk.
He's excited to hear his story
and,
told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they come and told him. They're like, William, you gotta run. You got to run. They're coming to hang you. Okay?
Yeah.
And so he got so scared, him and Augustus fighting, they took off. They got as far as Allentown before they busted him. And then when they busted him, they took him to Norristown Prison, this one over here, the one I was trying to save, that one.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed there until he was transferred to Fort Mifflin. And then
wow.
he was so sick. He was still dysentery. I seen his medicine bottles, man. You just see the fucking ingredients, the poor man. Wait, you ready? Cocaine, morphine. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No shit.
Like,
the poor
they weren't... All they were doing was drugging him heavy for,
Yeah, but on top of dysentery, he got hooked. Imagine back then.
And that was That was the leading medicine back in those days was cocaine, morphine.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. All they cared about was, oh, let's just get rid of the pain first, and then we can take care of whatever eventually.
Well, they didn't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
give me the Thorazine, man. Give me the Thorazine.
Yeah, right. They didn't even have that, but they'd be able to cure up some heroin.
Dude, hey, dude, here's a
right,
special
so,
day.
Listen, this explains to me why William calls me Hannah and Lisa.
Right.
And William also helped Boston T's father. I mean,
now,
Mike's father.
I have
Mike's
a question for you, Lisa. I
what?
Got a question here. In light of that, and we've discussed, you know, this show, by the way, for those of you joining us right now, there were some difficulties on the server on my end, and
oh,
now
okay.
It's broadcasting, but it wasn't you guys. It was the server that runs my Sam Broadcasting, you know, simulcast, blah, 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 but I got it running.
Right.
And Steve has just joined us. Hello, Steve, again. No, right. He didn't hear us earlier.
Right.
Steve.
Hello.
But anyway, about you, we've talked about
yeah.
Hannah and how
well, yeah.
you're connected. Mm-hmm. And the reason I run this across to you about the past lives being a good idea for a show
yeah.
is because what I was telling you on the phone the other day when I just randomly called you and woke you up before you even had any coffee.
Yeah.
It's just like these moments. Sometimes
yeah.
I feel like, and this, maybe it's the knowledge of history and being a genealogist
I know.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep.
But do you, I mean, this is a question. I already talked to you about it. So instead of telling what I told you or asked you, I'm going to ask everyone in general listening. Have you ever had this feeling like you had a dream and you woke up from a dream and you've had this dream and it's like you were somewhere
oh
in
my
that
God,
dream,
yeah.
like
yeah.
you felt like you were there and it was so real and you got woke up and then it dwelled on you so much that you just go out through the rest of your day, month, or year going back to that, feeling
yep.
really strongly connected to
yeah.
that,
yep.
to those images you had in your mind. Has any one of you guys ever felt this connection to, like, something much older you or before you or, like, you were somewhere else or you'd done something else before?
Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, I did.
Okay.
Mine didn't really involve a place so much, but kind of a person that I never actually saw her face. I know
okay.
it was a woman. I know I had dreams of a faceless woman several times.
You mind if I ask you how old you were?
We got to introduce
how old was I?
A faceless man at the fort.
yeah, actually, that was a good capture.
Actually, it went on for a good 20 years. Like
yeah,
when
that's
I was
what I was
going to
say. This is years, yeah.
Yeah, from about
mine
20
is,
on.
Yeah, and I'll share mine in a minute, but I want to hear y'all's first.
Okay.
And then, you know, then they suddenly quit.
They
yeah.
did? Now, listen, me, I had my run with my one dream all the way till I hit my parents got divorced. Okay?
Yeah.
Just, you know, I was like, what, 13, 14, you know what I mean, or something like that. And and it's going to freak you guys out because it's going to be unexpected. You're not going to expect this one at all.
Okay.
Okay? So I used to dream every Christmas Eve. I would have the same dream. I would dream that
yeah.
I was somewhere in a place like Egypt something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the stone bridges that, you know what I mean, and the sand,
nice.
And you know what I mean. And
yeah.
there'd come a bridge, right? And I'd stand in the center, like at the edge of the bridge, you know, like waiting to go over across. And
right.
first thing, it would be all foggy, and all of a sudden, all these animals would come out. Now, this was when I was little all the way to a teenager. And
nice.
All the animals would come towards me, and I, you know, I'd be all excited, and I'd start to walk across the bridge, and Jesus would be standing there.
You know something you say
yeah,
I wouldn't
yeah.
know. I can dig that.
Okay.
I can
and
dig that.
Yep. And then and I swear to you, he'd give me a hug, and then I would wake back up from the dream.
Lisa, can I interject and tell you why I expect that?
Why?
Because I know and this is okay, and you know, you do you.
Yeah.
I choose to, you know, try to line up with all that. But the thing about you have a great deal of respect for Jesus, and
oh,
I know
fuck
you
yeah.
do, Because
he's
that dude who brought peace to the world. You just don't believe in organized religion. You're like,
no,
me.
Exactly.
I don't believe in denominations. It's a little different.
Yeah.
But I don't
yep.
believe in labels. And
nope.
I don't think that you have to be this or be that to go to the kingdom,
I
the kingdom
think
of
what
God.
What he stood for was everything that should have been done. Not anything else. No wars,
yeah,
no nothing.
Cool.
Everything that he stood for, from taking care of people, being together, being one, everything that he, you know, no greed,
yeah,
no, you know, shit mm-hmm. like that.
That's with that
it,
being
man.
Said, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but with that being said, and where you've mm-hmm. said that, continue, please, about your
okay. So what you were just saying now with the Gospels of Thomas, which I love, it's my favorite fucking thing because it's written. It was found in Nag Hammadi in 1945 in the Earthward Jar, and it's really him like speaking and somebody writing it down. There's no there's when he was alive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you listen to it, when you read it, you know, it kind of feels like he's from the future when you think about
mm-hmm.
it. When you read the way he writes, it really does, and that. They're like, duh. You get what I mean? Like, we don't need a woman here, you know? But he'll say, if you don't hate your mother and your father, then you're not like me. And if you don't love your mother and father, so there's going to be issues. And what he said, like, you know what, like, reality is in there, all right? And the way he says things, like, pick up a rock and I'm there, or a stone, you know, or pick up something and you'll find me. So nature, that's nature.
Yeah.
And I often wonder if the story of the man in the white robe here wasn't here those missing 33 years.
But you said you felt you had this this vision every Christmas Eve or Christmas.
Every time. Yeah, Christmas Eve. Every
okay.
Every Christmas Eve.
What did you get from it? What made you feel like you were connected to a past life through it?
I don't. Never mind. I ain't talking about that. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. But no, but it could be. We'll leave the whole
that one I understand.
I'm not going Da Vinci Code on you, not now.
Yeah, no, that part I do understand.
Right.
I know we've talked about that.
Yeah, I'll
don't tell. We don't have to talk about it. But
no, but
the whole reason I brought it up is because when I was younger, and over the past 30 years, I've been having this dream about laying down next to a horse. And a green field looking up at a castle. I've told you about this.
Yeah, you did tell me.
And just laying, I told you this years and years ago, but it's like having this reoccurring dream is a dream.
Yep.
And then I'd wake up, and it was always like, when I was younger, I was thinking, a castle is like a big, giant stone house
Scotland.
On the hill. And then,
Scotland.
Yeah, and I kept seeing myself there, and I kept seeing myself laying next to a white horse on the ground. I asked Emma about that. And shout out to Emma Godwin.
Oh, yeah, hi, Emma. We love you.
Emma gave me a reading.
Oh,
a
did
free
she?
One. She
oh,
sure
wow.
did.
I love her.
And this is
her.
What I meant to tell you. I meant to tell y'all this 6 or 7 months ago.
What?
The way, I cleared all that stuff. I'm about ready to put that hole through the wall.
Oh, good.
Anyway, yeah.
That sounds funny.
But I had the wrong.
Really,
yeah, they sent me the wrong drill bit, but that's fine. I'm going to do
it.
I'm going to make it work. Emma, I asked her, and she said it's interesting you bring up about the white horses. Because she said something to the, and see, I can't remember the details, and we need to get her on the video cast. It basically, she said it connected to Scotland's history somehow, and I wish I knew the details. But that wasn't what I was going to get at. That just actually came up, me telling you about it. Because
I
told Emma about the dream, too. Because I wanted to know, hey, what do you think? You know, because you're a psychic.
Oh, hell yeah.
She told me. So she connected some kind of dots, and it freaked me out.
Mm-hmm.
But,
God.
We'll ask her. We get to ask her, and that'd be a great show.
Yeah, it would
but
be. Okay,
it
well,
ended
can...
up being, I just felt like, all those years, why do I keep having this dream? And I've always been, I felt like, I was like, something really special in the past, like biking or something.
Exactly.
And Andrew Brewer, Obama psychic, actually did a reading on me for free.
Oh, wow.
On remember I told you on Beyond the Edge of Reality in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was the guest that was on, and I was the next guest. So while I was waiting, I heard him call in, so I called him and talked to him. And he said, okay, I'll do a reading on you. He told me it was all these different things, like a mechanic in World War II and a Civil War soldier who was shot in the hip. But he said, I was clergy time and time reincarnated over the centuries as clergy, over and over. I was clergy, like a priest or... And he actually connected a lot of dots of why I have all these different abilities. Like
we
carry
it.
It's
scientifically proven. We carry DNA memory along with the DNA from our family line.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So
we have to
take a break. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to play music. Okay. Because we have 29 minutes to go, and we're going to play Bunny. I got a new name.
Bunny.
Transatlantic. Okay, because it just. Okay.
Okay.
Tell
us who Bunny is.
Bunny's an indie artist, and he is right now in Berlin. He travels all over the place. He has an alter ego, and that's Area Blue, which is a little heavier, and this is Bunny. I'll try not to sing. I sort of imagined how cool you are.
That crap, you got to use a hookah for that.
There you go. Go, David.
Seven nozzle hookah.
Seven nozzle hookah.
Oh, God, yeah. Right in the middle of a freaking of a round table. Everybody's sitting around with a little bowl of snacks.
Yes, the hookah. Yeah. Look at you.
He got
the gunja man.
I got my medical vape here. Yo.
So here's I know pretty much I think I know how the three of us feel. But I was watching a show the other day, and I heard this person's comment. They were talking about one of the cemeteries in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? St. Louis Cemetery number one. And they talk about it being the absolutely most haunted cemetery in the entire...
Is that Lurie LeBeau's cemetery?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the reason they said that they really think that it's so haunted is because of the human proximity to the remains of the deceased, because those are all above-ground mausoleums.
Oh, I
love
it. I had a person.
Some of them are bad.
Okay.
Hey,
but
make sure the
listening audience can get their thoughts on it too.
Yeah.
Do you think proximity to the remains of the deceased is going to create more paranormal activity?
No, and yes. That's a two-edged sword based on what I've experienced.
Yeah, if they want
go ahead, Lisa. You go first, but I definitely want to chime in. But go, Lisa.
Yeah,
I went to
Laurel Hill Cemetery, and we were that one. I'll try to get up if I can.
Laurel Hill.
Yep. And we're investigating it, and I'm at the thing, and I'm like, "Who's here with us? Right? What's your name?" And all I get on the recorder is, "My name is Jeremiah Campbell. I swear to you." And you know what I mean? So, that person. But then again, it's Campbell family. Who
I
knows?
Remember this.
Right.
Get it? Yeah. So, I mean, but see what I mean? So I can't be absolutely 100% sure. If it's not a relative going, "Yo, bitch, hey."
No, but okay. Okay, is that your experience? Let me tell you mine.
Okay.
Yes and no, David. In my experience, not for everyone. It's not a blanket thing, but other people that I've talked to over the years have had similars. I think it's the difference, and this is interesting. The difference, now David said cemetery, but I think David would include graveyards in that too, right?
Oh,
David?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
I think if there is no, go ahead, David. I'm not trying to talk.
How
you,
about
so.
Indian burial grounds that they covered up to pretend they weren't there?
Well, maybe
that,
I'm
that
pulling
might,
away from
yeah.
David's talking point.
Okay.
This show, they were just talking about the actual cemetery.
Okay.
So, I mean, because there's 300,000-400,000 bodies.
Yeah.
In such a very small area, because they start stacking people on top of people, on top of people, on top of people.
I think maybe a yes and no again on cemetery, because cemeteries, even though the cemetery is different than a graveyard, a cemetery is supposed to be a structured burial site. But then, as you know, throughout history, cemeteries, just like temples, are built out. Christian temples are built over burial grounds.
Right.
So you've got over in Europe, like England and stuff, they built temples over pagan sites, you know, and stuff like that. Well, they found there was a hospital built over a medieval burial ground that had hundreds of bodies in it, and they had haunting, they were talking about shit going on for hundreds of years there. I think it's a possibility. I think the elements
are
the variable.
That sounds
have
it
to
like
be right
maybe,
for it to
maybe,
happen.
Maybe,
what do you think,
that,
David?
Maybe,
what do you think?
Especially if they, you know how back in the day, back in the Rev War and shit, and even the Civil War, they bury the body, Memorial Rev War, bury the body where it got shot right then and there. They
that's
bury
what
the
I was
body.
Fixing to go, I was
so,
going
yeah.
to that.
Yeah. So maybe See, that's a total issue.
Richmond, Virginia, which lane we're going to tonight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a cemetery in my hometown. It's called Hope Cemetery. And part of it is above-ground mausoleums, and part of it is in-ground burial. And it keeps going back from, on the front side, there's all the above-ground rich people mausoleum kind of things, and it goes all the way back to the original Revolutionary War Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
The cemetery... The original Revolutionary War burial plot, that's the way I'm going to say it. And that section where the Rev War soldiers were interred always felt more active to me than mm-hmm. where the mausoleums were. So that's kind of, you know, I mean.
Nature.
So you're a yes on that.
No, not necessarily. Around the mausoleums, I didn't feel it. But in the older part of the cemetery, I did.
Yeah.
But I think it might just
okay.
be
yeah.
the spirit of the soldiers that was there.
Yes, yes. Waterloo, a lot, you don't hear this much, but the battlefield of Waterloo, where Napoleon
yeah.
met
yep.
his end,
yep.
that he met his army was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely, it's got all kinds of crazy things going on, like Gettysburg, you know, but these are like 60 years before Gettysburg, but
yeah.
they've got tons of sightings and have been going on since the mid-1800s, people have reported. The Waterloo battlefield area has all kinds of, like,
yep.
I would claim to think those might be residuals walking through their last throes or something, I don't know. But
you never know.
That's really interesting because the St. Louis Cemetery is the St. Louis Cemetery is. I mean, there's a guy who does a YouTube channel. His name is Lamont, and he walks around the cemeteries. His name's Lamont,
yeah.
And you can Google Lamont and cemeteries, and you'll find him in 2 seconds. But he takes you to these cemeteries and these forgotten people that nobody talk about anymore, like he did
right.
Vern. He actually did Jim Varney's grave, and he did like this is different people. He goes
right.
to their graves and he tells their story. He went to the St. Louis Cemetery, and he shows where the vaults are so busted you can see skulls.
Yes.
You can literally look down into the above ground tomb things, and you can see their bones in there.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It really is sad.
It's
yeah.
really
their family died out
hundreds
of years ago, you know, 100 years ago or whatever.
Right. And in regards to some of that, my question and my thought was, are the spirits at that cemetery more active basically because their original resting place had been desecrated by having another
yeah.
body thrown on top of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Steve can tell you there. They were doing this in Georgia, not recently. They were doing this in Georgia. Not more than 10 or 15 years ago, there was a big scandal about it.
Wasn't there a jail down there that they just found like 300 to 500 bodies buried behind it? That nobody
know.
Knew the people
like
that even
know.
Died?
I'd like to know about that.
What if you're in the middle of the fucking woods or something and you're... They covered the Native American burial sites just like they did their city.
Oh, well, that's a given.
Itself.
You know dang
all
well
right.
that's going to
so
create
So you could just walk.
Now.
Yeah, because they do leave an
that's
ancestor
one of those
behind.
Things, say, yes.
That's one of the beliefs that they leave an ancestor behind to watch the, you know what I mean, watch the
right.
site. So you get it? So, I mean, you could be walking down the street one day and all of a sudden you don't know where they are. That's the saddest
well,
thing.
Well, I jumped ahead of my skis, but I want to believe because mm-hmm. in this, I don't call it a career. That's absolutely not what it is. And anyone that calls a paranormal a career is because they're making money doing it. I lose money every time I do this, and that's fine. Because I want to lose money,
yep.
and I want to research. I just about researching. It's not about
that's
making
it.
Money to me.
That's no,
and
it ain't. No,
that
it ain't. Frank
about,
and me know that, and we knew that. Frank and I both
but
knew
about,
that.
Right, mm-hmm. but about
yep.
the whole, you know, about that whole idea about the Indian burial grounds? There's just been too many people over the years that I've been doing this in that they've had, I mean, where I'm from, the Karankawa Indians, the Cherokee
mm-hmm.
Indians in our region, heck, the Mohawks and up in your region and the Creek Indians. And there's a lot of story. It just seems like some people don't know. They dug into a, like a farmer had all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
I know.
And I think the Bell Witch might have even been a disturbed mound. And that
you
Bell Witch
you
was
never
a
know.
Upset
mm-hmm.
spirit, you know? So I jumped out of my seat by saying, I know. No, I don't. So, bad on me, smack me in the head, smack me on top of the head like Benny Hill. But no,
I
don't know that
Amabel,
for sure, but it just seems like there is a great many stories about Indian burial grounds and the connections to energies.
Right.
Yeah, but no, on Porcupineville, there was...
And I don't know that for
sure. You've probably seen it. When I found, when I cleared
like
out
that.
The area, I found the rock with the carved out like a teepee on it. in it, and it was other rocks, and they were like giant rocks that were all shaped different, and they were all in a fucking circle. And I knew right then and there that was sacred. I knew
that was a sacred marker, right?
Yeah.
You just made me think of something really cool. There's been three places that I went to, and we went down in the basement, and these places were private, and it was haunted.
Right.
And there's always a pair of really old shoes in the basement. Can you tell me if the shoes in the basement, every freaking place that I went that's had a lot of activity? And
that,
I mean,
I
is there a tie-in to the shoes?
Yes.
Why are there
always
shoes in the basement of these houses
yes.
that are
They're supposed to be in, like, the upper floor joist area in the walls in order to help protect the property.
Shoes?
So why? That's crazy. Why are they so haunted then? I mean, the three
I don't
places,
know.
One in North Carolina and two in
shoes?
Tennessee. The
shoes.
I know they put people's
old
bones up
shoes.
In the doorways.
Oh, that's
yeah.
wonderful.
Oh, that's,
they wouldn't know if they were attached to the house greatly. They would honor them by placing one of, or two of their bones in the archway above the doorframe. Yeah.
That sounds like Oddfellows behavior.
That's delightful.
What?
I said,
hey,
that sounds
when I
like,
die.
That
no,
sounds
I
like.
Look, and I'm sitting there going, and what?
Yeah, no, that
when
that
I
sounds
die.
That definitely sounds like Oddfellows behavior.
What's an Oddfellow?
Oddfellows is one of those secret societies. And they would put full human bodies in the walls.
Who do you hear this from? Who do you hear this from? Because
you.
No.
My grandfather
was a Freemason, and my grandfather, my great-grandfather was a fucking 32nd degree master Freemason, Scottish Rite. They ain't doing no weird shit like that.
No, they're not. They're
not.
No. They are not part of the Freemasons.
No, they're not even.
The Oddfellows were never attached to the Freemasons.
Like a group of eccentrics.
I've never heard of them.
You know, like the Hellfire Club? You remember?
Yes, the Oddfellow Society.
Yeah,
is like the Knights of St. Pythian.
Yes.
There are other secret society groups that have disappeared, but the Oddfellows was all about embracing death.
No.
Yeah.
So they had their secret meetings where, you know, okay, they would bring out a coffin, they would bring in somebody who's wanting to be part of the Oddfellow Society.
Yeah.
The coffin would be there. They would take the cover off. There would be human bones in it. They would leave the person alone in the room to face mortality.
Right.
But what? So did they make masks and shit too? Because it sounds like they were on that track.
Yeah, they
for
had
real.
Robes and they had robes and things like that.
So,
but I don't know much about what they did because nobody really does.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Look, it's like get in that room. This is how you get initiated. Go in that room and realize that you are nothing. And when I wind up a thing of bones, so you better straighten your shit out now.
Oddfellows is they were. Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot, but I read a book about them in the 90s.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
They were a crazy town.
They were. Strange, for sure.
Yeah.
A strange society of people.
They were
people.
Section 8. Section 8 occult.
they were so pretty much so secretive that you really don't know more than, in these houses that used to belong to the Oddfellow Society, they did find human skeletons in the walls.
Yeah.
Full human skeletons in the walls.
They claim that went back hundreds of years, too.
Yeah.
It's not nothing,
yes.
not Victorian. It actually went back to medieval times or maybe the Renaissance or something.
Look,
that's cool, David. I haven't thought of that in 20 or 30 years.
It better have been stone because that motherfucking shit would have leaked and stunk. And
here's some morbid history. You know, William the Conqueror, one of our ancient ancestors, Lisa?
Yes, uh-huh. Yep.
Did you know that they didn't have embalming? They didn't
embalming.
In the year 1086, when he died, they laid him out on a table for all to see because it was the first And he busted. And it's written
Look, I know from picking
his
up
his body
animal,
busted.
It busted. The gases rise to the surface. And
they
skin splits
and
black
they
shit oozes out. And it fucking smells. So I worked with animals and I had to pick it up. Okay?
Well, I know how it smells.
So you have to be real careful. And all of a sudden, pop, and it's like,
And actually, they talk about it in the written old medieval language. They're talking about it in old Norman French.
Yeah.
How his body busted and his eyes turned black or something.
Yeah.
But, no, I know that smell. And that's a smell I'll never forget.
Me either.
Yeah.
That human.
I can smell a mouse
rotted
four
human
apartments down.
Shout out to CSI crime scene.
I was driving my little bitty black Ford Escort down a country road in Illinois.
I had one of those.
Apparently I ran over an animal that had been out in the sun for too long because I hit it.
Ew.
I hit it, and suddenly everything smelled forever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's like a delicious array of
it's
every gas on the planet. Methane
like, holy crap.
Worse when it's a skunk.
Whatever.
When it's a skunk, and I pick them up. Okay, it's worse when it's a skunk. And, and they've been out in the sun.
Yeah, the natural skunk smell, which is acrid enough as it is,
yeah, I know.
Mixed with the bloated, decayed, blow-up stench of
everything. The skunk, I got to tell you, where I live, the skunks
they
are the first sign
you.
Of spring,
yep,
and
yeah,
they've been out for a couple of weeks now, but I've known it was going to warm up because of my knee. But we're going right into spring. Was it not a beautiful? Well, it was a beautiful day where we lived.
Yeah,
today,
it was
but,
nice. It was nice today. It really was.
And we had squirrel heads in the yard and birds and all kinds of cool stuff. But about skunks, here's a true story. Y'all gonna laugh. When I was real little, I found a dead skunk on the road, and I poked it with a stick. And for about 3 or 4 minutes, I was trying to find the spray can. That was true story. Because I was told they had a spray can in their butt when I was little.
Oh, my God.
And there's Fabian when he's little like that little meme.
Yeah,
can I pet that dog? Can I pet that dog?
I'm serious. I'm poking on this dead skunk trying to find a little can in it. Like a aqua
can. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
My sister had told me, like, go out there and find the, there's a little can inside of it. And I thought,
She was always mean.
That's as bad as my cousins when I was little trying to get me to grab hold of an electric fence on the farm.
Oh, I had that happen too. That was not
good. Well, see, they'd been around it so they could always tell by listening to the sound when the current had passed through.
Yeah.
So then they would grab it right afterwards and not have a problem.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me about that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. No. No.
I actually did. I grabbed one, and oh my God, I'll never do it again. That hurt.
Yes.
Oh,
that really hurt. Hit my hand.
No.
Oh my God, it hurt. I'm like, oh! And me being a dumbass, I'm holding it a little longer. Oh, get another O out of it while you're in it.
You probably couldn't let go. You
look
know
like
what I mean?
The guy from Home Alone, you know, what was his name, Harv?
Yeah.
And he grabs it. Ah!
Pretty much.
I sent that to Scott Grunwald and got a big laugh out of him.
I know.
Because I said, hey, Scott,
I
here's an old picture of you when you worked for the electric company. And Scott, that's fucking hilarious. Scott Grunwald, shout out. We lost Scott.
Yeah, I know.
Scott was one of the, he was Parahor. He was one of the greatest. He was so cool.
I
was honored. I talked to him all the time.
He was 100% real. He was real.
Yeah. David Lowry, another great guy, shouted out him a couple of days ago. Shout out to David Lowry, the paranormal highwayman. He shouted out that he's wearing his Parahor shirt. So we're all remembering Scott Grunwald.
Yep, and he was great. No, I met him years ago when we started doing events, and so I know he's just as great as he seems. You know what I mean? He really was a good person. And
Daniel
Roberts.
Daniel Roberts shouted out to him, too.
Danny.
We got to get Danny on the show, man.
Yeah, we do.
I'm going to end up meeting him. I'm going to be in Jacksonville, and I'm going
to definitely need to get him on the show.
I'm going to see him. I'm going to be like, hey, you're over on Normandy. That's just right over from the yard. I have to stay in one place for more than 10 minutes.
Danny's cool as shit.
Get Danny on the show, and we can talk to him about a couple of the apps he's got on Google Play.
Yeah,
Flame,
in my
so.
Next investigation, I am going to use Spirit Talk. I'm going to definitely use that because I'm going to try to incorporate my own bank into it. I'm going to do a ZR60 bank, Andrew Openlander. He's got the sound audio. He's got the, like, just six minutes of static.
Yep.
And Openlander. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, he gave me an app that was made years ago, and it's working on my phone. And it's like, I don't know if anyone even has it.
Frank.
He wanted me to build one, and I quit building apps. Google pissed me off. I'm done with Google.
Listen. Frank said, and he meant this, he said, try whatever you want to try. You want to try the box. You're doing EVPs. You want to try some other way. Try whichever way. Apps, use it. You know what I mean? He said, because if they, and I got proof, they could work the phone. One time in my bathroom, because, you know, I have the comedy club sometimes, okay?
Yeah.
I would look at a picture, because I have it somewhere on audio, and I would say, okay, I'm changing a picture. I'm like, what is this? And they're like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, shit. No lie. Then I would do it again. I'd be, no. And I turn the phone the other way, and they do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on. And they could identify everything on my phone, so tell me they can't touch it. You understand?
Oh, no.
Like they could, like, yeah, I know.
They could turn my TV on and off. They can. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Walter called in the show, remember?
Yeah.
I know. That's another
yeah.
one. That's even better than mine. I had to run the one off. I'm more than certain I crossed the one in the den. But we had one that would knock the beer bottles over. I think it was the old lady that did that, though. But
probably it
would come in there and it would shut. As soon as it knew I could sense it, which was my fault because I don't investigate in my own house. Nonetheless, shit's happening right in front of me. I ain't going to call nobody. I'm going to say, like, we're going to cross dress. And back to Danny, I used Echovox to do that.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I love that.
Yeah,
that
and I've
great.
Got, I've
but,
actually
yep.
got that somewhere.
I still have it. I just
where
have
I did
it,
a video of it and showing the Echovox.
I still have it still to this day on my phone.
Me too.
But you know what?
I've got both of them, the originals and the newer ones.
When everybody's like, you don't investigate your house, and I start laughing, I'm like, I have a spirit party.
There you go.
That's what it's like.
So you're the ghost host, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Not yet, but look.
No, that's Sophia Temporelli. Shout out to her show on Live Paranormal.
William was out at the radio to get my attention. He'll walk past it, and I'll be like, and I go, I'm like, if that's you, can you do one more time so I know it's you, and then I'll do it again.
You too.
I'm like, now can you walk away from the radio, please?
How about a third?
That means I got to get the box for something.
Right.
That's what that means. That means something urgent they got to say.
Yeah, and by the way, what y'all don't know is when the station was down last week, we went on the air, and we did a show with just us talking. It was just us without being broadcast. And I said, Lisa, get the Frank's box. And, boy, did we not have a great conversation.
Oh,
I could hear it. Man,
we'll
it was
it
like
next week.
Yeah, we should have done that.
Yeah, we should. We need.
But no, we were talking about past
week.
Lives, you know, past.
Yeah,
lives.
Right. That was important.
So,
it's a segue. It's a segue into
it
what you're coming out of
to,
it.
Yeah.
To William, okay, because he'll come out and it's like.
Those are cool. I actually rode on one of those the other day, and it was weird.
Wow.
A segue.
Yeah, I grabbed one. I'm like, I got my fat ass on this fucking moped, and the guy said, "It's not a moped." I said, the hell it is, and it's a stick moped. That's what the fuck it is. I had a Moto Guzzi in 1983. I had a Moto Guzzi. It was an Italian moped, and it was until I wiped out on it.
Oh, wow.
It's a stand-up stick moped. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just
mini
moped. But, yeah, he's like, it's not a moped.
Nope,
it's a Segway.
No,
60 seconds.
Segway.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we're down to the last...
Dawn, shout out to Dawn, shout out to Bunny, shout out to the rest of everybody out there that listens to the show, and everybody that's cool and chill
and
all that.
We appreciate y'all, and liveparanormal.com, we love you guys.
Yep,
and
we sure
do. Parasanctum Podcast will be back soon.
Oh, yeah. And what, David, go ahead. Now, what is it, what's the other one?
What's the other one? What? Trahan?
Fabian. Yep, that's it.
Fabian, FabianTrahan.com?
Yes, that's
Slash
it.
Slash radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trahan Radio, yep.
Slash
uh-huh.
radio.
Slash.
Yes.
All right.
And
love you guys. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Ten.
Nine.
Nine. Eight.
Seven.
Six.
Come back
six,
next
ten.
Week, folks.
And here comes a cheesy ad.
Love
y'all.
All right. I
love
Bye-bye. You. Bye. Bye. Oh, my God. That's stupid.